Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As an Adult, the podcast where I review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week, I will be reviewing 2003's The Room. All right, guys, welcome to the podcast. Before I get into this review of The Room, is everybody still mad at WAP? I just want to know. Is everybody still mad at WAP? That was like, everybody was mad at a song. Everybody was mad at a song for a week. I don't get it. I really don't fucking understand why everybody was mad at a song. What did this song do to you? For anybody that's living under a rock, who's been living under a rock for the past week and a half, Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion released a song called WAP, which is an anagram for wet ass pussy. I hate to say it like that, but that's what is the anagram for. It's an anagram for wet ass pussy. That's what it is. But it is what it is. But just like the song came out and everybody started tripping about it. It's like if they're not tripping about the song, they tripping about the video, they tripping about who's in the video, they tripping about how people are dressed in the video. And what's going on in the video, and like they're tripping about the song. It's just like everybody tripping, and I don't understand why this is even an issue. I was like, people are, oh, well, these lyrics are vulgar. I felt like I was in the fucking 80s, and it's like the fucking PMRC days or some shit. You know, I felt like Tipper Gore was about to get up or some shit and say something like, I don't like that wet ass pussy, or whatever the fuck, you know, whatever the fuck Tipper Gore would say. But I felt like that was gonna happen. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, I thought we were past this. It's 2020, and like, there's bigger things to talk, there's bigger things to worry about than two female rappers talking about how wet their pussy is. There's bigger things to talk about, man. Like, why is this an issue? Cause it's an issue for a lot of people. I hate to make this a race thing, but I'm gonna talk about everybody. I'm gonna talk about everybody's fucking issue with this thing. Cause like, you got white women mad because they're talking about wet ass pussy. I don't know if white women's pussies get wet. I'm not sure. Apparently Ben Shapiro said no, because he got involved in it, and Ben Shapiro said he didn't even know that pussies could get wet, and his wife's white. And I didn't need that information. I'm just gonna say I didn't need that information. But apparently Ben Shapiro's wife's pussy doesn't get wet. I don't know if it just doesn't get wet, period, or it just doesn't get wet for Ben Shapiro. But apparently her pussy doesn't get wet. And he wanted everybody to know that, because he didn't know that a pussy could get wet. But like the lyrics is mostly from white women. Talking about how fucking vulgar the lyrics are. I think I saw a bunch of old people talking about it too. They were like, oh, this is so vulgar. You got black male rappers talking about they shouldn't be that vulgar, when most male rap is vulgar as fuck. You know, I used to listen to a song in college with my friends called Slob on My Knob by the 3-6 Mafia. And them niggas going wild. Niggas saying, these are some of the lyrics. They say, slob on my knob like corn on the cob. Check in with me and do your job. Lay on the bed, give me some head. Don't have to ask, don't have to beg. He said, lay on the bed and give me some head. You know? And there was another song that they had, I remember we used to listen to in college. He was talking about fucking white girls and like and getting them doped up. You know, like, he was saying, like, fucking a white girl and putting some dope up her nose or some shit like that. It was like, this is like the shit I used to listen to in college. Okay, from 3-6 Mafia. Got Ain't No Fun If The Homies Can't Have None. By Dog Pound. You got fucking, Sir Mix-a-Lot had a song called Put 'Em on the Glass. You know, it goes on and on and on and on with male rappers, so they really have no fucking... Oh, Put It In Your Mouth by Akineli. Put It In Your Mouth by Akineli, that's a fucking vulgar-ass fucking song. You know, Eddie had another song called Would You Fuck Me For Free. You know, so a lot of fucking male rappers shouldn't talk, and I love hip-hop. Like, hip-hop's one of my favorite fucking genres of music, but it could be a very hypocritical genre as well. You know, y'all shouldn't be talking about this, but I'm gonna talk about how many hoes I done fucked. You know, but I don't want to hear about your wet-ass pussy. That's too much information. I'm gonna talk about pissing in this bitch's mouth, but... let's not talk about your wet ass pussy. I don't want to hear that. I got kids. But yeah, man, it was just like the outrage for this shit is just astronomical. I didn't know a song could get that much outrage in 2020. I didn't know that a song could get this much outrage. Oh, and black chicks are like tripping about the video because Kylie Jenner's in the goddamn... Is it Kylie or Kendall? One of them, I think it's Kylie. They both look alike to me. Kylie Jenner's in the goddamn video. So like, black girls are mad because Kylie Jenner's in the goddamn video, which I don't give a fuck. I like, let Kylie live. You know, let her fucking live. I'm not a big fan of the Kardashian family either. I don't like them at all, but let them fucking live. Let them do them. You know, If they get paid for doing nothing, really, which I don't think, I think they own, like, fucking clothing lines. I think even Kylie Jenner, I think my wife was on, like, Kylie Jenner's, like, fucking website, and she's got, like, lip balm or lip fucking lipstick or some shit. She makes makeup or something like that, so, like, she really does have a fucking job. She's in cosmetics, but so, like, and I think, like, the other Kardashians are in, like, fucking fashion, you know, so, and I think even, like, Kim Kardashian has a law degree, from what I heard or read somewhere. I think she has a law degree, Kim Kardashian, so, hey, man, I got to respect the fucking grind. I got to respect the fucking hustle. Like, don't be mad at Kylie Jenner because she doing shit. You know, like, don't be mad because she doing shit. They're like, oh, she's appropriating black culture. Okay. Okay. But I understand, my sisters. I understand. She getting all the shine that you not. I understand. I understand. I get it. She out here doing things that they find I don't know what to say about that, but you know, but I understand. I'm just gonna say I understand, sisters, but let her live. Just let her fucking live. Go out there, do you, keep doing you, do your grind. Keep doing you. That's all I got to say. But yeah, man, a lot of people fucking mad at this goddamn song. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it, but Hopefully it's dying down. Hopefully the fucking backlash from this song is died down, you know, because I don't hate the song. I think the song's okay. You know, it's like, I'm not a real big Cardi B fan. I'm not a real big Megan Thee Stallion fan at all. But Megan Thee Stallion can fucking rap. You know, like, I gotta get that to her. Like, the girl got flow. Even Cardi got some flow. It's like, the topics that they talking about, you know, I can't relate to because I'm not a woman. You know, so I got that. But, like, because I like to listen to a lot of fucking murder shit. So, like, that's my favorite. I love hardcore gangster rap. I love hardcore hip-hop. You know, like, I love horrorcore hip-hop. You know, like, I like a lot of that shit. But, so, like, a lot of the shit they talking about, I like conscious hip-hop also. So, like, a lot of the shit they talking about, I can't relate to, but I ain't gonna say that I can't say that them bras can't rap, you know, like, cause they can rap. They can rap their fucking asses off. Like, they're great fucking rappers, but, and like I said, don't have a problem with the song. Don't have a problem with the song at all. Let them talk about their wet ass pussies, cause I love me some wet ass pussy as well. So, that's that. What else happened? I watched Project Power also on Netflix, like, Saturday, with my wife. We always watching fucking movies together. It was okay. It was enjoyable. I think this is probably, like, the first movie I stayed up for in a while. There's a couple of movies I've tried to watch and I fell asleep on. And it's not because I don't think it was even because they were bad movies. I don't think it was because they were bad movies either. It was just, they weren't, like, really holding my attention. Like, they dragged. They were slow. Project Power did not drag for me. It, like, was fast-paced. Jamie Foxx is good in this, actually. You got Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That was kind of the one thing that sold me, that Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in it. Because I like a lot of things that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in. You know? And, like, he has not really disappointed me. Yet that I know of that I can think of. But yeah, I like a lot of things that Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in. The main girl that's in here, I forgot the girl's name, god damn it. But the black girl, she's in here. I forgot her character's name. Shit, I can't think of the character's name right now. But anyway, like, I like the movie. It was good. It was set in New Orleans. They actually tried to make an authentic New Orleans, because I hate when there was a movie that I watched recently, like, very recently, it was a newer movie, I think, where they went to New Orleans and there was nothing New Orleans. Oh, I know what it was. It was, like, a recent movie. It was that movie about with Naomi Harris and Tyrese. God damn it, I forgot the name of it, but, like, Naomi Harris is playing a cop. That was another movie, because, like, there's a couple of movies like that. It was, like, that movie, I think it's called Black and Blue. Is it called Black and Blue? Yeah, that movie didn't, like, that wasn't New Orleans at all. It was, like, that was some bullshit. Queen and Slim, there was a segment where they went to New Orleans. They didn't feel like New Orleans at all either. There was another movie with Anthony Mackie and Sanaa Lathan and Forest Whitaker that I saw. What was it called? Repentance? Repentance? It was supposed to be set in New Orleans. That didn't feel like New Orleans at all either. And Anthony Mackie is actually from New Orleans. You know? So you would think he would... Well, he's just doing a fucking job and getting a check, so he probably didn't give a fuck. Who knows? But, but rep your city, Mackie. Rep your goddamn city, bruh. Cause I'm from New Orleans, and I be looking at these movies, I was like, this ain't New Orleans, you know, I'm from New Orleans, so I'm like, this ain't authentic at all, bruh. That's one thing I gotta say about Project Power. It tried its best to be authentic. You know, I saw them mention Poydras Street, Church's Chicken was all up in through that motherfucker. They had people with, like, authentic New Orleans accents. Even, like, the main girl character, she had a authentic New Orleans accent. You know, it was Joseph Gordon-Levitt's and Jamie Foxx's accents needed some work, but they tried their best, because they tried to sound like New Orleans people, and I wasn't feeling that. But anyway, yeah, that's the reason I just fucking love this movie. Like the movie was good, the villains were weak. Like you, I don't know any of the villains' names. There was like a Hispanic villain, there was like a fucking muscle bound villain, and there was a woman villain. I think she was supposed to be the main villain. She's in that movie for a total of 10 minutes. A total of 10 minutes. And the way she dies is just like, yeah, because she dies in the movie. The way she dies is just like anticlimactic. It's like, I waited for that? Really? I waited all that time for her to get her comeuppance? And that was it? That was some bullshit. A lot of the villains die really anticlimactic. All three of those villains die, but like they die so fucking anticlimactic. It was like, dude, I thought y'all was gonna fight, and that was it, you know. So I got this, but yeah, man, like the villains are weak. Main reason I like this movie was because it was fast paced. Like I said, Jamie Foxx and Joseph Gordon-Levitt and the girl, I think her real name is Danielle Fishback. Those three really held that movie together. But it was really because they rep my city, like to a fucking, like fucking Joseph Gordon-Levitt was rocking a Steve Gleason New Orleans Saint jersey. Like that was fucking fire. They mentioned the Saints a lot in this goddamn movie. I mean, they did. I'm like, this was the best portrayal of New Orleans I've seen in a long time. That's all I got to say about that. That's it. I'll be back with my review for The Room. I'm gonna take me a break. Be right back. Peace. Today's episode is brought to you by Restaurant.com. At Restaurant.com, you can save at thousands of restaurants across the country with just a few clicks. Their dining deals range from $5 to $100, never expire, and cost you a fraction of the face value. Dinner has never been easier with Restaurant.com. Use it for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Restaurant.com is offering our listeners 50% off their next purchase by going to www.restaurant.com/podcast. That's www.restaurant.com/podcast for 50% off your next purchase. Restaurant.com, the best deal every meal. All right, guys, The Room 2003. This movie is a lot like its writer, star, and director, Tommy Wiseau. Very mysterious. It's a very mysterious movie because it's even mysterious of how I actually came across this movie. Because I don't even remember how I came across this movie and how I watched this movie for the first time. I want to say it was sometime while I was in college. I want to say between 2006 to 2000, I want to say between like 2006 to 2008. So this is technically not I watched this as an adult because I was already an adult when I watched it. So this is not like a flashback, but I just wanted to talk about this movie because it's just so batshit fucking crazy, you know, like it's just cuckoo. It's a crazy movie, and I don't know what can I say about the movie that hasn't already been said. You know, like, it's not a good movie. It's terrible. It's a
terrible fucking movie. The acting's not great. The set pieces aren't great. The plot's not great. Like, nothing in this movie is good at all. But somehow it created this cult following that Tommy Wiseau cannot live up to. Like, to this day, Tommy Wiseau has not been able to top this. He hasn't been able to come up with something as batshit crazy as The Room. But, you know, I'm not even going to talk about the actual plot of the movie, because the plot doesn't make any fucking sense. I'm not going to talk about the plot. I'm not going to talk about any acting. I'm not going to talk about any of that shit, because the behind the scenes story and the journey to this movie is more fascinating than the actual movie. Like, it is. Like, you listen to the story, because there's even like, because there's a movie about it.
If you want to believe that movie,
The Disaster Artist, it's based off of a book called The Disaster Artist by Greg Sestero, who was actually in The Room, and he's actually the I believe he's actually the co-writer of The Room. But yeah, I believe he's the co-writer of The Room, and he told the story, and like, the story is just so fucking fascinating, because like, Tommy Wiseau and Greg Sestero were like struggling actors in Hollywood. Like, they couldn't get work, you know, mostly because of stubbornness on Tommy's part. You know, I think Greg was really trying to grind out here, trying to get work, trying to get jobs. I think he got a couple of jobs. Tommy was just not getting anything because he's so fucking weird and like, he's so stubborn, and he was kind of holding Greg back, because every time Greg would get something, Tommy would just fucking hold him back, you know. Like, it was, that's how it was, because like, so like, if Tommy wasn't getting work, Greg wasn't getting work, and so Tommy was frustrated for some reason that he couldn't get work in Hollywood, and so he and Greg, they made their own movie. Like, they wrote a script, they hired a film crew, and they hired some actors, and they made the most like half-ass movie that they could make, because that's the big, I always wondered what was wrong with The Room. Like, every time I watch The Room, every time I watch it, I've watched it a couple of times, I showed my wife the movie once, because like, she never saw The Room. I was like, because she asked me like, what's The Room? I'm like, you've never seen The Room? I gotta show you the fucking Room. And we watched the fucking Room. But every time I watch this movie, even watching it again for this review, I was like, what's wrong with this movie? There's something off about this movie. And this movie suffers from a lot of half-assness. That is the main thing. That is the main thing wrong with this movie, that it suffers from a lot of half-assness. Like plots get dropped with no explanation. There's like a plot in here about like one of the characters owing like a drug dealer money, and we don't even follow up on that. Like, we don't follow up on that. Like, there's a couple in here, another couple in here, we don't follow up on them. I think like one of the characters' mother's has cancer. We don't follow up on that. Like, there's a lot of things that we don't follow up on in this movie. Like, so like, very, very half, like, very half-ass movie. But Tommy comes off as very professional. I watched the behind the scenes vignette of this, about the making of The Room, and like, he comes off very professional. Like, he comes off like he knows what the fuck he's doing, even though he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. So like he's very professional. I can see how he got all these people to believe in his vision. Even poor Greg Sestero, because Greg Sestero wrote this movie. I think he helped write this movie, and he helped direct this movie, and he's in the movie, but he's a victim. I'm sorry. Poor Greg Sestero is a fucking victim. Like, because I think, like, Greg owes Tommy. He feels like he owes Tommy because without Tommy, he wouldn't be in Hollywood chasing his dream of being an actor. You know, because Tommy, he met Tommy at an acting class, I believe in San Francisco, and they hooked up, and Tommy just brought out, like, the, just brought out the fucking beast in fucking Greg, I guess, like, the driving Greg, and he just made Greg driven, you know, and I feel like he owes Tommy, like, he feels like he owes Tommy, and that's why he's, like, he's just stuck in this movie, he just stuck around him, he never, even to this day, Greg Statero and Tommy Wiseau are still around each other, and it's just, I don't understand it, like, cause, like, I'm like, Greg's a victim here, that's all I got to say. Greg is a fucking victim in this whole situation. But Tommy is a professional bullshitter. So, so he's able to get people to believe in his vision. He's able to get people to do what he wants them to do. And really, like, without Tommy Wiseau, we probably wouldn't have a Neil Breen. You know, who makes even shittier movies than The Room. If you ever watch a Neil Breen movie, you'll think that The Room is Forrest Gump. You know, The Room is Philadelphia compared to Neil Breen's movies. Neil Breen's movies are fucking terrible. But he has a cult following too. Neil Breen is fucking terrible. He has a movie called what's it called? Shit. Because he does a lot of fucking shitty movies, but the main one I saw is called, God damn it. Not Eastern Promises. That's actually a real movie. Pastime Promises. It was something Promises, but yeah, man, that movie's fucking terrible. He doesn't even try. You know? I was like, Neil Breen doesn't even fucking try. At least I can say that about Tommy Wiseau. Tommy Wiseau he's half-assed about it, but he tried half-assedly. You know? Neil Breen doesn't try at all. And this motherfucker has a cult following, you know? And I do believe that race plays a factor in this, and charm plays a factor in this, because you also got a guy like Uwe Boll, He makes tons of shitty movies. He makes tons of shitty video game movies. He's just fucking all around terrible. And he gets shitted on because he's a fucking all around terrible guy. Like, he's not a good person. He's a shitty dude. You know, I think there's, like, a fucking charm and warmth to Tommy Wiseau. There's kind of a charm and warmth to Neil Breen that Uwe Boll does not have. You know, he's like, his movies suck and he's an asshole, you know, so people say that about him, you know, because like I said, race plays a factor in this, because black people have Tyler Perry, you know. Tyler Perry is our Neil Breen, Tyler Perry is our Tommy Wiseau, and he gets a lot of criticism for it, he really does, from white and black people alike, because he makes, and I'm not gonna throw Tyler Perry totally under the bus, because he has some movies that are room fucking quality, you know, because, like, there's a couple of movies that I've seen of his where I'm like, dude, this is so bad it's fucking good. You know, it's mostly the ones without Madea. You know, I don't like any of the movies with Madea in them, but the ones without Madea, they're, like, so bad it's good. A Fall from Grace? Come on, man. Why Did I Get Married? Come on, man. Temptation? You know? Like, those movies are so bad that they're good. You know? They're so fucking terrible that they're good. I'm not gonna say that Tyler Perry doesn't have that type of, that so bad it's good factor, because he does. But, like I said, he gets a lot of criticism because as black people, we can't afford to have that many bad movies. I'm sorry, we can't. We can't, because we barely have enough good movies, you know. And I know Tyler Perry's rich. I know he made all this money. He's got this big fucking studio now. He says it's bigger than all the fucking Hollywood lots put together and shit like that. But brother needs to step his game up. He really does when it comes to filmmaking. This motherfucker makes like 15 scripts. Or like 100 scripts, because like he had that fucking video where he was like talking about work ethic and all this shit, and like he doesn't have any other writers. He doesn't, I don't think he has a fucking team behind him. It's just Tyler Perry, Tyler Perry, Tyler Perry. I heard somewhere that he shot a 10 episode pilot, not 10 episode pilot, but he shot 10 episodes of a fucking sitcom in like 10 days or some shit like that. I mean, like, the quality can't be good. Like, when you're shooting 10 episodes in 10 days, can't be good. Quality can't be good. You're writing 15 scripts in 15 days, the quality can't be good. I'm sorry. It can't be. And it's shown on the screen. But like I said, we gotta bring Tyler Perry to task a little bit, because like I said, black people can't afford to have this many bad movies. We can't afford to have this much bad content. It was like, we barely have a lot of good content, you know, because like, President Obama had to be this pristine, perfect person. Even Michelle Obama had to be this pristine, perfect person, you know, because Wanda Sykes said in one of her stand-ups, white people are watching us, it's sad that we have to do that, but like, we have to do that because sadly white people are watching us, you know. But and like, they're gonna put it out there, and like, they're gonna, and, like, if we saw fucking Michelle Obama twerking, or we saw Barack fucking smoking a blunt and like playing fucking craps on a fucking sidewalk, and like had his niggas over, and like they was like fucking gambling on the fucking White House lawn or some shit like that, it was like, we wouldn't have another black president. They wouldn't even consider another black man as the president, you know. Like, they're gonna be like, well, we're not doing that shit again. What they're gonna do. But like, we just have to be pristine people at all fucking times. I fucking hate it, but it's the standard that they put on us, and it's the standard that we put on ourselves as well. So like, white people they have so many like artistic films that they can afford to have a Tommy Wiseau. They can afford to have a Neil Breen that makes like stupid movies. It looked like he made those movies on like fucking Windows Movie Maker. You know, Neil Breen's movies look like he makes those movies on Windows Movie Maker. It looked like he made those movies on a flip phone. You know, like, that's how fucking terrible Neil Breen's movies are. They're fucking horrible. But He has a cult following, and people love him for some fucking reason. This guy's making like fucking money. We can't have that. We don't have that same luxury, you know. Like I said, Tyler Perry's doing it, but he still has criticism, because no one criticizes Neil Breen. No one criticizes Tommy Wiseau. They say, oh yeah, his movies are bad, but there's a charm to him. You know, there's a charm to Neil Breen's movies. You know, like. You don't get that with Tyler Perry. You really don't. It's like, either you love him or you hate him. You know, like, one of the two. But that's how that is. So, is The Room good? Hell no. Is the story fascinating? Yes. Story's fascinating, but I still gotta get this movie a 1 out of 5. It's a terrible fucking movie. Join me next week. Before I say that, before I say join me next week, don't forget to rate and comment on Apple Podcasts. It helps me out tremendously. Tremendously. I've been getting some reviews. I forgot to read some reviews on the goddamn podcast. Shit. I'll most likely do it next week when I do my next movie. I gotta get those reviews and read them out here, because like I've been getting some good reviews. So if you like the podcast, be vocal about it. Give me them 5 stars on Apple. Give me them reviews. Keep them coming, guys. Next week, I'm going to be reviewing The Fast and the Furious. So, peace, everybody. Till next time.